Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
I've got the looks that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right away, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We got stuff to do. We're doing a tier list. Should be fun. You tweet us out while talking radio. Go ahead.
We're getting romantic, y'all. We're talking about breakups.
It's all about the breakups. That's why we have the Heartbreak Kids music to open the show. Themed. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward, come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live. Thanks, Take, for 21 months, as that was on the pre-show start. So wanted to put it in the show start. Also, Go Bird. They won the Super Bowl. Lindsay said on Monday that I had to talk about it here, so we'll talk about it here. Go Birds. They whooped the Chiefs.
God, did they whoop the shit out of
it? It really wasn't. It wasn't close.
I mean... I was hoping the Chiefs would get a little bit more offense just for an interesting game.
I wanted them to be good.
I don't think their offense got off the plane.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't think the team got off the plane. Like, the goddamn Philly team, y'all's defense, Jesus Christ. Like, from the get-go, they just were on Mahomes, and they did not let up.
Yeah,
I think until the very end of the game, they didn't let up. They were just on him all night.
They were not ready for the Eagles or the Chiefs. They forgot how to protect them, Mahomes. And here's the thing. That was their biggest issue all year. Their offensive line was their biggest problem, protecting Mahomes. They need a better offensive line, and we're starting to see the age of... Kelsey come into play a little bit. He's not as explosive as he once was. But yes, they need to adjust their offense line. I was hoping for a really good game. I was hoping for a competitive game because that's what makes things interesting. Did I enjoy the blowout? Hell yeah. But I wanted to see a competitive game. Like, I thought the Chiefs, I was waiting for Mahomes to Mahomes it.
Yeah, I think everybody was. I think, like, the second quarter or the second half, because, like, that's typically when the Chiefs start playing is their second half team. And they never, ever, ever found their mojo. Like, they would start and you would see them start to do it. And then just they would get shut down either by stupid penalties, because, God, that happened so much. Or Philly's defense would just be like, nope, and absolutely not. Nope.
Here's been our biggest problem with our defense at different points of the season. They would be worn out because they were on the field a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because we kept getting them off the field, our defense stayed fresh. That's why in the games with the Rams, in the snow, they were on the field a lot. And which is why it became more of a game as it went on, because the Eagles defense got tired. The Rams were making comebacks. It's why we lost the one game to the Commanders was our defense got tired, because they were on the field a lot, because we had our backup quarterback in. That gave the Commanders a chance to get back into the game, and they ultimately won because Smith couldn't catch one ball back in the regular season, not the playoff game. So it was because our defense stayed fresh, and here's the key stat of that game. We did not blitz once.
Nope.
And that was telling, because Chiefs offensive line just couldn't stop them. A fresh, fast defense pounding through your line. My father was yelling at Mahomes for not doing anything. I'm like, he can't do anything if he's getting sacked left to right. He really couldn't, as much as he tried. And there are clips of, you saw Mahomes try to be Mahomes, and then they just weren't. And there were early, the refs were involved in the play, and it helped both sides. Both sides benefit from bad refereeing. But that was never, at the end, it never was the factor in the game. It was a line battle won us the game, both defensively and offensively, because the Chiefs tried. Hurts made a mistake with the interception, but our line was the more dominant line on both sides, which won the game.
Yep.
So
all in all, well deserved.
Yep. So there's your football talk.
Ding. So, okay. All right. We're done with football. I said we talk wrestling now.
Sure. Let's get to news.
Some news.
We do.
Not a ton, but some. So starting with WWE, Roadblock is coming to the theater at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday, March 11th.
Tickets on sale next week. Yeah, so they're going to be running the theater at Madison Square Garden. So not MSG itself, but the little, it's where they used to run Raw back in like the early in 93. So that little theater area. Should be fun. Yeah.
So tickets on sale soon.
Tickets on sale, yeah. Should be next week.
Let's see. Julius Creed of American May will be part of Daniel Cormier's coaching staff for the upcoming season of the UFC reality show The Ultimate Fighter. That's exciting for him.
So that's their really first combined crossover with WWE and UFC under TKO, where a WWE guy is working on a UFC project. For those who don't know, Julius Creed was an amateur wrestler in college. So him being part of this makes a lot of sense. And Daniel Cormier has been a big, long-time wrestling fan, so having the connection there also works. Yeah, this is like the first real crossover of WWE and UFC under TKO really working together. And that's a good spot for him.
It finally happened.
Yep.
So good for them. Congratulations, mm-hmm. Julius. In some sad news, WWE made some releases post Royal Rumble, post Raw, post whatever. Kind of shocking. It was like
SmackDown.
Was really expecting it. It was during SmackDown, so it's like, okay, all right, interesting. But WWE has released Sonya Deville, Elektra Lopez, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Isla Dawn, Cedric Alexander, Blair Davenport, Akam and Rezar, along with Paul Ellerling and Giovanni Vinci. So I guess Imperium is not getting back together.
And the third member of Imperium has not come back. Elektra Lopez is the most surprising, because she was on SmackDown that night. She got released, I think, the next day or the day after.
That sucks.
But she was the most relevant TV character out of them all. You could tell Akam and Rezar with the Authors of Pain and with Ellerling. That act was not working with Karrion Kross, and we've seen Karrion Kross work better on his own, being the snarky shit that he's been. And with them out of the act, I think Karrion will do better. So they realized bringing them back, it didn't work out. So they let him out. They released him. Luke Gallows, this is the third time he's been released by the company.
Yeah. But at least he and Carl secured the bag this time. Like, I'm pretty sure they got paid very well to be there.
Hunter made it up to them last time by, you know, bringing them back when he came back into power. And then, well, it didn't work. So Carl's still out injured for another 3 to 6 months. So who knows what will happen
there.
He was out injured,
wasn't he?
Yep, he had surgery.
Oh, no. I hope they cover some of his bills there, because, yeah.
They probably, I think they'll be taken care of. Surprised they didn't try to use AOP bombs. Let's be real. I don't think it would have worked either way.
I think they did, but didn't one of them get hurt?
No.
Or wasn't there, like, some kind of issue that they had to take them off TV, like, when they brought them back?
No, I don't think there was. I don't think the act would work in this environment. They peaked in NXT. They peaked there.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But I'm just trying to remember, like, why they, like, because they brought them back and then, like, they weren't using them for a while, and I thought it was because somebody got hurt or something like that. But yeah, I would agree they weren't working with Kross, like, that whole situation. And we've said it on this show multiple times, that whole situation was just very weird. So yeah. I think Kross will be better on his own.
Isla Dawn, that sucks. She was recently a tag team champion last year. That one sucks. Cedric Alexander, he just last year re-signed a new contract with the company. But I think they got the best out of him when they had the cruiserweight division, and that's kind of where he fit. And after that point, and the Hurt Business stuff ran dry, and they're no longer there. They're a syndicate in AEW now. He never really had a place, and I think again they got the best out of him as they could at that point. But since they've moved away from that and they have other talent and that can fit the same role, I don't think they need him per se. Blair Davenport, she got called up and they had nothing for her. And that was unfortunate.
That was unfortunate.
Giovanni he just never got over as a solo. And then there's Sonya, who's been with them for 10 years, and she has a lot of history, and a lot of people are making, they're like, how dare they do that to her and stuff. She had a great 10-year run with the company. There was a lot of unfortunate things outside of the WWE that happened to her that kind of stalled some of her progress, but I it sucks that they got released, but again, you can see why.
I think the case with Sonya is she was a tremendous talent, and she really did well in, like, the authority role. It was like her and Corbin, they put them both in that authority role, and they did really, really well in it, and they were really able to shine in it. And then after that, they could never really find a place for them, like, especially for Sonya. Like, she had some success with Shayna and Zoe. But, like, they could never really find her the right spot or the right place or anything like that. Because she went on that authority kick. They put her on a run, and she did really well with it. And she seemed to do just thrive in that. And then after that, unfortunately, she had to go away for a while to deal with some personal stuff, which was stupid. And that person should be very ashamed of themselves for putting her through that. But I think that just kind of killed her momentum a little bit, because she was, I think, on a run at that point, and then she had to go away.
And then she got injured. And then she got injured, right?
Yeah, and then she got injured, and that just killed all of her momentum, and they couldn't find a spot for her after that.
And sometimes the role she was suited for most was a talking role, and in-ring was not up to par where they would hope it was, and that's kind of the decision, I think.
There's nothing stopping anyone on this list that we're talking about from going out to, like, promotions like TNA, or going over to AEW, or going out on the indies and making a name for themselves and coming back at some point. There's nothing stopping anybody here.
Because look at that. There's four names on the list. Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Hay Come, and Rezar. And I guess Paul Ellering, but he's 70-something years old. But
Paul Ellerling's going to go back home. And what was he doing? He was, because what was it with the first run that he couldn't come up with the AOP that he was doing, like translating or something like that?
Apparently,
he couldn't travel.
That was apparently not true. He was open to it. They just didn't want him to.
All right. I was going to say, he's going to go back doing whatever the hell he was doing before. Like,
he's going to try to manage them in the indies, I guess.
That's nice.
But Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, Akam, and Rosario is like second chances. For Gallows, got third chances. So keep making your name and you'll be brought back. They've told it to a lot of people. Go make a name for yourself somewhere and see what happens.
Like, Anderson and Gallows, I'm going to be real. Okay, they I feel like kind of made out on this a little bit just because they got paid a lot of money to do very little.
Yeah.
And also they kind of got caught in the fact that they were brought back specifically for AJ, and AJ got hurt a lot. And when he came back on this current run, they were like, I think they decided we're just going to have him be solo and we're just going to have him do his thing solo.
They had their run and then here they are. So anyway,
I mean, if I was Anderson and Gallows, I would take my money and I would just go home.
They'll take the money, go to Japan, have a run. It'll be fine. But before we continue the rest of the WWE news, we should talk about the AEW news because there's more there.
One brain. I was just about to go there. So in quick AEW news, AEW also made some releases. None of these are really terribly shocking. We already kind of knew one, but it's now, as some people say, official. AEW has come to their terms with the release of Miro, Malakai Black, and Ricky Starks, and jumping back to WWE.
Hold, we'll get there. I want to talk about Malakai Black first and Miro. Okay. So Malakai Black is officially officially gone. His contract came up. Miro has been talking with AEW for a few months now about an exit plan. So they've been working on the release, and they finally came to terms on the release there. As you saw, he's back in the country, hanging out with his boy Sheamus.
They're getting the harem back together.
So Rusev Day soon?
I mean, maybe, because Sheamus lives in Nashville.
Yeah.
I don't know if Miro still does or not. I think he does.
He probably still has a home there.
I was going to say, because I don't know if which house he got in the divorce or if they still had the house in Nashville, because I know that they had moved out to LA.
Yeah, and he's been in Bulgaria, and he's been back and forth over the last year. So, and then there's Ricky Starks, who has been in Doghouse from AEW, and apparently Tony decided, you served your punishment. There was a lot of stuff going on there, and said, hey, we'll let you out. Which now leads you to this part of the story.
Ricky Starks has officially joined NXT. Like, that boy, he didn't let any grass grow under his feet. He got let go, over the weekend? And on Tuesday, he was on TV.
It was official. Monday. And then Tuesday.
He was on TV the next day.
He was on television. Never called by his name, Ricky Starks. The fans chanted Ricky. But they never used his name on television. Caught my eye. A lot of people. He is currently
his real name.
Yes, he also owns the name. So
I'm sure they'll work that out.
So officially on the internal roster, he is listed as Ricky Starks. But because probably pens weren't all official,
they can't use it.
They weren't going to official. They couldn't call him anything on Tuesday, which is funny because what makes it funnier is over the weekend, trademark. There was a list that came out of potential newly trademarked names by WWE.
Oh no! I saw the Jordan Grace tweet.
There's Osiris Griffin, Hayes Jameson, Trill London, Harley Reagan, Summer Sorrell, Jax Presley, and Draco Knox, Braxton Cole, Tate Wilder. So all these names came out, and everyone's like, so. They haven't given Ricky, they weren't calling Ricky by a name, so which one of these names are they going to slap on him, even though we all know him as Ricky Starks? Which name are they going to
do that?
No, he's going to probably be Ricky Starks. He's going to be the absolute, probably, Ricky Starks. But again, pens weren't probably fit, like, they probably had the handshake on Tuesday, and then legal had to probably do stuff to make it official.
Yeah.
Because so what they do, how WWE deals work for some of these people are they're called sync deals, where if you own the trademark of your name, you license it to WWE. It's like a sync. It license it with WWE. They can use your name, your likeness, etc. And then you get it back afterwards. Like AJ Styles' logo, he mentioned it's his logo, and he lends it to WWE to use, which is why Jordan Grace is Jordan Grace, which is why AJ Styles is AJ Styles, etc., etc. So it's probably a matter of money and contract and just how to dot some I's, cross some T's and stuff. So I have a feeling this Saturday at NXT Vengeance Day, which I believe he's going to be there because he was pulled from an independent show, the absolute Ricky Starks will be his name on television. I can see him also poking fun and WWE poking fun at the name thing a little bit too. So
possibly.
We'll see. We shall see. But yeah, Ricky Starks, that's the big jump. And I expect Malakai and Miro to follow at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I don't think they need either one of them, but...
I want Malakai Black for fantasy reasons, thank you.
Oh, I understand this, but I don't think they necessarily need them, but they'll take them.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. Before we get to the rest of WWE, I think we should get the others, because it's just all in the same subject.
There were a lot of releases this week. These next two are really rather surprising. I don't think anybody was anticipating it, especially since they're from TNA. But longtime employee Josh Matthews is gone from the company, and following him out the door is Christy Hemme. She'd been working backstage, I believe, in creative. And Matthews, as we all know, was like their social media guy, and he was an announcer. He did a bunch of stuff for them. So kind of interesting they're both gone.
Matthews has been a senior producer. He held a lot of hats after he left television a couple of years ago. Does a lot of production stuff and whatnot in the office as well. Christy Hemme, we reported 3 months ago, not back in 4 months ago, back in October, that she signed back with the company, and now she's gone. So what all happened was TNA did some restructuring in the corporate side of things and everything like that. They had a bunch of changes. They hired a new president. So there's the old president is gone, and Carlos Silva is now the president, who was working in some role with Anthem Sports and Entertainment. He's now moving into the president role of TNA, and a lot of restructuring happening, which is why Matthews is gone, Christy's gone, and probably a couple other things will probably come out at some point, but they've restructured that side of thing. So there you go.
So we'll see what happens there. But last but certainly not least, there was the state of play for PlayStation. And yeah, some WWE 2K25 footage got dropped. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the island of relevancy. We have the full trailer for it. Number one, it looks sick.
So
it looks absolutely sick.
So I need to remember NBA 2K Online. I forget what the official name of their world is. But after seeing this play out and saw the trailer and everything that they have, it's basically the same type of concept. It's their online world. Like it was for NBA, it's like a basketball court and then like and stuff like that, where you do pick up games and online play and stuff like that. So they finally now brought that, which the NBA version runs really smoothly, and I don't think there's a lot of issues with getting games and stuff like that. So hopefully they're taking whatever worked there and bringing it over to here with the island. So you'll be able to buy cosmetics and then you can bring them into your creative superstar. Which is, you know, whatever these days.
Just to give you a hint of some of the brands that will be available on the launch of the island, you can buy Chalkline, DSYF, Free and Easy, iSlide, Jordan, Mischief, MSCHF. I think that's how you say that. I don't know. Apologies if it isn't. Nike, Puma, Stay Cool NYC, Tough Crowd, and then, of course, their WWE shop, a Fanatics experience.
Yeah, so it's going to be their whole online mode. You could now have Jordans and Nikes for your creative wrestler. So if you want to spend some money. As we all know, buying kicks in video games is a thing now.
I don't know why it's a thing. I still want those goddamn shark slippers.
Thanks, Fortnite.
Gee, I wonder where they could have possibly gotten the idea.
No, this was, but they did this in NBA for years. I too refuse to buy kicks. I don't want to spend money on them. Just like I don't want to.
It was real life, but not in. Yeah, I don't want virtual.
Hey, if I bought kicks in real life, and they give me a code to put into game,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, like, I'll spend the money if I, like, actually get something physical out of it, but if it's just pixels, like, why am I going to pay money to do that? Like, I'll do it for skin, but I won't do it for, like, just shoes.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's different areas. There's the Deadlands, the Temple of Ancestors, the Arcade of Tomorrow, Hero HQ. You'll be able to wander around and do all these type of things.
I like that the Creator Wrestler area is called Becky Incest Draporium.
There you go. I want to take pictures of my feet and use those as kicks, as my kicks metal. By all means, Tig, if that's what you want to do, hopefully one day they'll give you the technology to do that.
Feet pics for free? Are you sure you want to do that?
I think you'll be willing to do that. Why not? But, yeah. So that's where we're at with that. So, yeah. More on this mode to come. You'll be able to rank up and do all the different things. There's more stuff to come in terms of WWE 2K25 in the weeks to come.
Ding! Stay tuned. So with that, I say we take a break, and when we come back, love is in the air, because tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and we're going to celebrate breakups. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Now at 10 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Rapado!
Did you know you can use creator code ROCK and sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad, because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show. Something in your eyes
lets me see right through you. Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo,
Lima,
Delta,
Shield.
Welcome back to The Record here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right away, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are back with our Valentine's Day celebration. Yes, y'all, tomorrow is February 14th. It is Valentine's Day, and we are celebrating it the only way we really know how, by talking about breakups.
Yeah.
No romance here this time. What, last year, 2 years ago, whatever we did wrestling weddings. Now we're doing the breakups. Because reasons. Why the fuck not?
Why not? That's the thing. Why not?
I think the breakups are me, right? Is blame Lindsay for breakups?
It is. Hashtag blame Lindsay, yes.
Y'all are welcome for Kanye West and Bianca, what's her bucket, by the way. Y'all are welcome. I call that a personal service to the world. You're welcome. Anyway, so let's jump into the list. We have 30 breakups we need to talk about.
32.
Or 32. Excuse me. 32.
Because Brent added two. The last two Brent added. We were at a nice round 30. I had everything made, and then Brent finally answered DMs 4 hours later.
I mean, you know, like you do.
So.
Like you do.
We took a couple of his suggestions. I mean, there are many.
One that wants money. Not putting that on her, but just throwing that out there. Let's start talking about breakups. And well, start here. I don't know where to start it, so we'll start here. You no good lying bitch. Triple H and Stephanie's marriage comes to an end. On TV.
This was before they got married in real life.
Before, wasn't it?
When did they get married? 05? 03? 03?
No, I thought 4? They got married in like 02.
No, it was at least 03, 04.
Hold on.
Because she was the general manager of SmackDown and...
Versus
no, this is not the wedding. This is not the Vegas wedding. This is the renewal.
They got married in 2003.
So this is this was the renewal of their wedding vows on television. Hunter had just come back from his torn quad. So a month later, they were trying to get on the same page, and then she lied about having it. She was pregnant, and so it got her to like convince him, let's renew our wedding vows on television. And then she lied. She lied about the pregnancy. Hunter finds out thanks to Linda McMahon. Told Hunter, and then they do this whole big thing, the whole wedding. And then he tells her off. So he goes, "You no good lying bitch." And then Vince gets in a fight with him. She gets pushed down. All the things.
And she was in a.
Short dress.
Very short and very revealing, because this was when she first got the girls done and they were large, supersized. She's since had them, I think, reduced. seduced, but yeah, she got the girls. This was like right when she got it done, or not long after she had gotten it done, and they were.
This was about 8 months after.
Yeah, so it was they were there, and it was a boobalicious dress. We're just gonna throw that out there, like very, very aughts, boobalicious. Like you think about, I don't even know, what do we even call that time? The era of Britney Spears and denim. Like what is that time called?
I don't even know, but.
Butterfly clips.
I would say this is A.
The wedding? Yeah, I would say it's an A. Yeah, this was a pretty epic breakup. I think we have some other pretty epic things on here that will top it.
Yeah, but I think that one fits in an A. What's next?
All right. You know what? Let's do this one because you're going to have to talk about this one more. You don't give me the night off. Sid turns on Shawn Michaels.
Okay. One, this is an A. Two, okay. this was the night after WrestleMania. This was 1995. And I'm going to combine it with another one here in a second, so we'll knock a couple of these out. Okay. So Shawn Michaels had just lost to Diesel at WrestleMania 11. And he's beat up. He's all this stuff. And he's blaming Sid, who was the replacement bodyguard for Diesel when Shawn fired Diesel, which we'll talk about here in a second. So he was in his corner, and he's blaming Sid for not helping him win the WWF title at that point. And Shawn, you know Shawn, he gets all fired up. He's poking the chest and all these things and firing up in the face. And then Sid retorts, you don't give me the night off. You don't tell me all this stuff. And then cooler heads prevail for a moment. And then Sid attacks Shawn. So this past year we watched Bronson Reed deliver seven tsunamis to Seth Rollins. Back in 1995, Sid Vicious dropped Shawn Michaels, who was already having a bad back because he just got beat up by Diesel the night before, with three straight power bombs. And you know how much of a victim Shawn plays. Like, he looks dead. So Sid turned his back and walked out on Shawn, and to make the save would in fact be Diesel, his partner, his old friend. So this one is an A. That you don't give me a night off. The one I want to combine it with, okay, or talk about, is Shawn fires Diesel as his bodyguard. So this was Survivor Series 1994, and okay, tension had been built. Like, so this was Diesel was the bodyguard for Shawn in 94. Diesel had won he was at one point the Intercontinental Champion. They were tag team champions and all these things, but Shawn and Diesel were not. There were some mistakes along the way where Shawn would accidentally super kick Diesel. So Diesel had been dominating the Survivor Series tag match, and he eliminated like three or four people in a row. And then Shawn wanted the tag; he wanted in. And Diesel's tired and worn out. And then Diesel's holding up someone. I forget who he was holding up. I think it might have been the Bulldog or something like that. Holding him up for the super kick. Or it might have been Razor. I forget. It was one of them. Shawn goes for the super kick. Whoever it was, ducks, knocks out Diesel. Diesel's pissed. So it's a 5-on. It was 5-on-1 in the Survivor Series. And then Shawn gets counted out. Diesel's getting counted out. The entire team gets counted out because they were all trying to stop Diesel from attack going after Shawn. And then as Shawn's leaving, he fires Diesel as his bodyguard, which would ultimately lead to Shawn winning the Rumble, going to WrestleMania. For that, this one's a B, but okay, it connects to like the story. So that's why I tie them together. So that one I will put as a B.
Okay.
All right. Next one.
Let's talk about America's Most Wanted is no longer wanted. James Storm turns on Chris Harris. And I know when everybody's like thinking about wrestling breakups, they're like, this isn't a big breakup. Look, you had to be there, okay? This is one of those you had to be there moments, especially in the early days of TNA. Because if you were around for the early days of TNA, America's Most Wanted was like it. Like, they were the tag team. Nobody could stop them. And like, they were just on fire. And when they split, they goddamn split. Like, it was like the Shield, but I think on steroids, because the way that I've heard it described afterwards was they were going to end it and they were never going to get back together. Like, that was it. It was the one run together, and then they were never, ever, I feel like, going to reunite, because I don't think they particularly liked each other.
At that point, no.
I think they've since become, like, better with each other, but at that point, I don't think they really liked each other. So, it's like, when we're done, we're done.
But as a breakup, that's a B or a C.
I would like to give it a B.
That's fine.
For my own personal, I would like to give that a B. But it was a big moment, especially in TNA, because it was like, holy shit, AMW is dead. Because, like, that was one of the biggest acts they had at that point when they broke it up. And to TNA's credit, they were really on the rise at that point when they did the split. Because essentially, what happened was, as I recall, is Chris Harris got a WWE contract and Storm signed with TNA, because I think they were both trying to get to WWE, and Storm opted not to go, and Harris did, which leads us to the very the Braden Walker three disc
collector's edition, or whatever.
Collector's edition. Yeah. But that's what happened. That's why they split, and so James Storm went on to have a very successful career in TNA. And unfortunately, Chris Harris. Things happened. Hopefully he's feeling better. He got sick for a while, so hopefully he's doing better. But yeah, Storm went on to have a massive amount of success, which I'm going to combine one, because Storm formed another tag team with a very unlikely tag team partner in one Bobby Roode, and they created, I would argue, more successful than TNA, or excuse me, from AMW, Beer Money. And they rode that gimmick until the money and the beer went dry.
It did.
And then Roode turned on Storm.
He did.
Again, I think, to go to WWE.
Maybe. Probably.
Oh, wait, no. Did he?
No, he had a singles run for a bit, and then I think he left.
Yeah, he got the title before he left.
I also say this is a B.
I would say it's a B, but yeah, this was again one of those, like, I think that was like the interim period for TNA, as I recall, where they were like holding on, and like one of their money acts was ironically Beer Money, because they were just on fire. Like, it was so simple, it was so effective, and it was so stupid, and they could merchandise the fuck out of it. I think I still have some Beer Money stuff somewhere. I think I have a hat, actually.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have, you know what? In honor of it, because it was 8 years ago today, we should talk about it. The Festival of Friendship, the celebration of two friends coming together, except why is one's name on the list? That's right. Chris Jericho and KO break up in spectacular fashion.
That's S.
That was S. Yeah, that's an S. Very well done.
Yeah, the classic line, it worked out perfect. So I don't even think we need to talk about it more than that's just a straight up S. Easy.
Easy next. Peasy lemon squeezy. Let's see where to go next. I guess we got to talk about him, don't we? We have to talk about Boo Boo at least once during this show, right? That's how this works.
We got a couple.
We do have a couple. We can probably combine them. But I want to talk about, because it was never resolved, what's in the box? Alexa Bliss turns on the Fiend at WrestleMania, and then we never saw the Fiend again.
That was the end of the Fiend, as we knew it. As far as a moment and a breakup, that's a B or a C.
It's definitely, I would say it was a B, because I don't think anybody was really anticipating it coming.
No, we weren't.
And I think it makes me really sad, because that story had legs on it and they never did anything else with it because of what happened afterwards. So it does make me sad that it just, that never got resolved, that was the end of those two together. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the last time they worked together, was that, because it was this epic moment where, like, you know, the Fiend came back and he shed this, like, you know, really sort of like grotesque appearance, and he comes out of the box and he looks like a fucking rock star, and like he has this match, and then Alexa turns on him and costs him the match, and that's like, and then they both disappear, right? And it's like, what the fuck is Alexa going to do with the Fiend now? Because suddenly it went from him having all the power to her having all the power, right? And it's like, what is she going to do to him? And then just nothing ever happened with it.
He got fired, and then he came back a year later, and
she was gone because
she ended up getting pregnant.
Yeah, she got pregnant like right before he came back.
No, they were on two different brands. They were back, and they were going to start something, and then his health issues came up where he got pulled off the road, and then she got pregnant, yeah, and everything, and she just returned 2 years later. So there's that. The other one to tie it with would be Daniel Bryan turning on the Wyatt family. As a moment, it's a B, I think.
I would say it's a B or a C as a moment, just because I think that story, again, had legs. In terms of all the turns on the family, I think somebody else did it a little bit better.
Maybe C then.
But like, because in terms of Brian turning on the family, it was sort of like it was expected. Like, I think everybody was eventually expecting it, but it was very sort of like, again, sudden, because they were pulling Brian out of that story and they were moving him into the main story of WrestleMania. And so they needed him to get away from Bray in order to do that, and they were moving Bray on to Cena. So, like, in terms of that story ending, it was very abrupt. It could have had legs. It could have gone longer. They could have done more with it. But they didn't. And so, to me, like, the turn, it was a good turn. Like, it was effective. And it definitely put Brian back on the babyface side. But it's like a B or a C to me. I'd almost go with, like, a C.
C plus, yes, we'll go C plus on that one. Let's knock out a couple here that are kind of just here.
There,
yeah. APA goes out of business. This is what happened when the brand split happened and they closed up shop. They both
this
went
is
to
so
different.
Bad.
They went to different brands. Farouk, Ron Simmons went to SmackDown. JBL, Bradshaw at the time stayed on Raw, and they went out of business.
No, he
was not born at that point.
Eventually.
He had a year as singles Bradshaw. And then a year later, he got drafted to SmackDown where JBL was born. But he spent a year in the mid-card of Monday Night Raw at first, where Ron Simmons sort of just floundered in the lower mid-card on SmackDown for a while. As a breakup moment, as a moment itself, that's actually a D, because there was just a sort of out of business.
I was going to say, in terms of breakups, it was not as explosive or as impactful as some of these other ones. It was just quite literally they're split because of the brand split. Like, that's it. Like, it, because, I mean, in terms of the APA, I think they've gone on record as saying that they never wanted it to be like a hard split, because they're friends. And so it's if they break up, it's kind of more they go their own separate ways sort of deal, as opposed to they just like have this explosive breakup.
Yeah.
And then they can kind of come back together whenever they need to. And I don't mind those, because in specific instances, it works. It really, really, really works, because it allows people to still be friends, still come back to the tag team if they need to, but they can also pursue their own singles career. Like what they did with New Day for a while, where they had like Xavier and Kofi and E all pursuing their own interests, but they could still come like back together when they needed to. Yeah. And that's like a really good way to do a soft breakup and just sort of have them drift apart, as opposed to just like, I hate you. No, I hate you more. Let's fight. And then they fight, you know? So it's a good thing to do in specific instances.
Another one in the D category would be Fandango. Fandango dances low. Dumps Rosa Mendez as his dancer. That goes into D as well. Dolph Ziggler dumps AJ Lee. While the whole story with Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee was a great story, the actual moment, and which is kind of where it's the focus of it.
I don't even remember it.
It was a backstage segment.
That's probably why I don't remember it.
So that one, I also say that's a D, because it happened backstage. It'd be on the high D side, but it was like, hey, we're just splitting them up, and it happens backstage. I'm trying to look at another. Was there another one on this list that kind of just sort of?
All Stars Bud.
Yeah, but that one is for the history they had. Rockstar Spud had enough turns on EC3 in the cage and just sort of after the match and just sort of beats him down and finally had enough.
Oh, good, he's here.
We're gonna get to the other AJ one in a bit. I would say Spud turning on EC3. That's a B or a C, maybe that's C.
I think
that's one that goes there. The other one I was looking at was Miz and Morrison. So that one happened where they were doing the dirt sheet and everything, but then they got drafted on two separate brands, and they had a match, and then that was kind of it. And yeah, I think that one also goes into a D.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
That was one where the draft sort of like, hey, it broke them up. So that takes care of some of the lower tier ones at that point. One you put on the list, Edge divorces Vicky Guerrero.
This was, in terms of breaks ups, this is like an A. I don't know if I can quite give it an S. But this was an A because this was a great conclusion to a very long running storyline between Edge and Vicky, where they had been running roughshod over SmackDown for like almost a year, I think, or over a year. And this is one of my favorite periods in WWE because we got just the epic feud of Taker and Edge and Vicky and like that whole group just like tormenting the Undertaker to all to hell. And so that's one of like my favorite eras. And so like this is like the conclusion where Edge is like finally has enough of Vicky. He's been using her. He can't use her any further. And so Edge is like, I want a divorce. And this leads to Vicky bringing back the Undertaker to beat up for her. And I think this is where the look at me woman comes from, as I recall. I think it's in that story,
yeah.
I think it's in that story. I don't think it's this particular moment, but it's in this story because I remember like Edge announces the divorce and Vicky's like, F you, because she's like in the wheelchair because she's taken the tombstone, and so she's like being carted around in a wheelchair, like a neck brace and everything. And like she's like, I'm going to bring back the Undertaker. And everybody's like, oh my God, no. And then he comes back and she's like in the ring with him. And he's just like, look at me.
Yeah, I can give you an A on that one.
It's not an S, but like for the whole story, to me, the whole storyline would be an S because it was just a really well put together storyline. But for the moment, that's an A.
Yeah, right. It's the breakup moment, not the full story.
Not the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Cena divides the Nexus.
Oh, God, I have such feelings about this. And they're not positive. I still maintain, to this day, Wade Barrett should have gone over. Anyway, the breakup.
See?
Yeah, because I think it was like a weird breakup. Because you had like Cena join the Nexus because he lost. And so he becomes a member of the Nexus and he kind of like divides them from within, and so you have one group go off with like CM Punk and he forms the new Nexus, and then Barrett forms the core and Cena kind of like fucks off and does whatever he wants. And so like in terms of a breakup, this is like a C because it was as I recall a weird breakup. It wasn't like a hard split, it was just because I think people got drafted or something like that. I forget exactly what led to it. But yeah, just the end of like the original Nexus and then the divide into the core and the new Nexus where we got Husky Harris.
We did, so we'll put that where we put it. C.
It all ties back to Bray. Anyway.
The Mega Powers imploded. Ooh, yeah, dig it. That's iconic. That goes S.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. And joining it should be Randy and Elizabeth breakup.
Yeah, that left people heartbroken. So,
I mean, you want to talk about an iconic moment in wrestling. For many reasons, that is definitely one of them. Because wasn't that also a real life breakup?
Yeah, that's kind of
Wasn't that kind of the end of the marriage?
That was kind of it. She kind of sort of led to the end of everything. Yep. So it's a double ending. And we should stay on the S tier list. The Rockers smashing finale, the ending of The Rockers, Shawn Michaels iconically throwing him through the barbershop window. For everyone, that's iconic. That's S tier.
It's still referenced today. Somebody is going through the barbershop window. Like, you can't argue with that. It's absolutely S tier. Absolutely S tier.
The Hardy Boys split, though.
The first one, y'all. The first one. In terms of splits, I'm trying to remember it. They've split so many times. It's hard to remember. But I think this was like a surprise because Matt turned on Jeff. And then
led to some weird stuff about dogs and...
We had like Matt, that was the birth of the Matt facts, and like Matt went off on his singles run. Yeah, that split, the first
Not the Mania one.
No, the first one.
Well, it was technically the second. I think it's technically a second because they broke up for a month and they got back together. Then they split with the draft and then Matt facts. And I don't know. I say C.
That works.
that kind of worked because there's a lot that happened.
It's all right there together. That's why I said it's a little muddled on remembering it because it's like, when did they split?
Yeah.
Because I know Matt turned on Jeff at one point. I know that led to him going on the singles run and doing the Matt backs and everything like that. And then Jeff did well for a while. Jeff went on to a singles run and he won the title and he did all these other things. And then unfortunately he kind of lost his way a little bit, which hopefully he's doing good now.
He's doing good now. Let's see. Lita becomes rated R where they are having the wedding and then Edge interrupted the wedding and she then dumps Kane next week.
This whole era. Oh god, this whole era was so fucked up.
I say that's a B. B or C.
I don't remember her dumping Kane. I remember the wedding.
The wedding's more than Edge. Since that's the case, then that goes to C because the dumping was less dramatic than
I remember like the wedding between her and Kane, and I remember the wedding between her and Edge, and like I remember her marriage in quotations to Kane and like how she tried to make his life just an absolute living hell. But like in terms of the divorce, like in terms of the breakup, from all I think I remember was it was like an in-ring segment and she was like, I want a divorce, and then like Kane went psychotic,
yeah, something like that. And then the week she jumps Kane off, she pulls off the ring and all those things. Sticking with Kane, X-Pac, X-Factors, Kane.
I was gonna say, if we want to talk about, sorry, go ahead.
Their relationship finally comes to an end. He doesn't get, because DX was reforming, and then so X-Pac joined back up with DX. In terms of a thing, that's another C.
I don't know.
A B?
I would give it a B just because there's like X-Pac and Kane breaking up, and then there's Tori and Kane breaking up. And it's all in that period together where Tori dumps Kane for X-Pac, right? Because this was right when I started watching, by the way. And so, like, it was kind of heartbreaking. Because, like, here's Kane, who just wants love, right? He's a psychopath, but he just wants love. And his best friend and his girl dump him for each other. And then shove him under a bus and make him walk back in the snow. Like, that was very mean. So, I would give it a B because there was an emotional, like, especially when X-Pac broke up with him because they had been, like, so successful together. Like, that was a little bit of a, that hurt a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you B. But the more stuff you're talking about happened after they broke up. There was more of a...
It was a long breakup.
Yeah. There's more to it after than the original breakup.
Let's talk about Taker.
Okay, talk about it.
No longer my Undertaker. Paul Bearer turns on the Undertaker the first time.
The first time, 1996. It is
going him on the head.
He's in the ring. He wants the urn after the boiler room brawl to end it. And Paul Bearer hits him with the thing. He's holding out his hand, waiting, and Paul Bearer doesn't do it. And, this would lead to Paul Bearer then aligning with Mankind, and then...
The fuckery that ensued.
The whole Undertaker lore continued with Kane a year and a half later and all the things. In terms of iconic moments, iconic breakups, this rides the edge of SNA. I'm leaning A.
I think in terms of like the annals of time and how stuff has held up, this is like a very, very, very high A. I don't think it's quite S tier anymore because enough time has passed that I think it has kind of like dropped out of the S tier, but I would still say it's an exceptionally high A because it was, in terms of like career defining moments, especially for The Undertaker, it's still right up there because he and Bearer have been together for years. They were the dynamic duo. You know, they could do no wrong together. And then all of a sudden, Paul Bearer turns on The Undertaker and everybody's like, oh, you slut. And now Taker's out on his own, right? And this kind of led to really the first like major reinvention of The Undertaker, which sets him on this whole path. And, you know, the epic feud with Mankind and the epic feud with Kane and just the whole road that he walked down. So I would say that this is like an A.
That's high A. Nice. Yeah, highest A. Speaking of turns, no longer my client, Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar and joins The Big Show.
This was big. No pun intended.
But as we've done this list, I think it's a B.
I would say it's a B.
I think it was kind of a mistake. At the end of the day, I don't think they should have because I don't think it helped Brock. I think long term, Brock was always better with Heyman, as we learned on the second run.
This turn was Brock's first run, right? When he was like super young, or this was the second.
What was that? Did you? That's why I was like, I got distracted.
This was the second run, right? When Brock came back.
No, this is the first one. This is the first one. 2002 Survivor Series.
Okay. Yeah, no, this definitely did not help Brock at all. He's always been better with a manager. He's always needed a mouthpiece, and having Heyman turn on him, especially go to Big Show, because let's all be real, Big Show didn't need it. Oh, we're going to get you back. Don't worry. Big Show definitely did not need Heyman with him, especially since this was kind of like Big Show's prime. So to have Heyman like leave Brock for Big Show didn't make a lot of sense. And I think it ultimately led to Brock just leaving the company. In terms of the breakup, I would say it's like a B, maybe a C.
B. No more flash photography. Edge and Christian finally break up after months and months of tension and Christian trying to hog the spotlight and holding the Stanley Cup King of the Ring trophy.
Like you do.
Like you do. Christian finally turned on Edge, ending the Edge and Christian era and setting them on both singles path. Low A.
I can give you low A. Just because this was a very sort of like shocking thing, because again, it's like, it's Edge and Christian. They're never going to break them up. They're never going to have them go singles. And well, we were all wrong.
Yes, Tig. Edging Christians.
Get it in now because you may not be able to get it in the future. Anyway, yeah, I would say this is an A. Just for the, like the shock value and how it happened, because this was the birth of the concerto, right?
Yes.
And this is
wasn't the birth of the concerto. This was the birth of the solo concerto, because that's what he did to him. It was their tag move, and he ended up doing it to him. Corporation X, Triple H and China join the corporation. China joined the corporation first, and then at WrestleMania she rejoined D-Generation X. Only to join the corporate team once again as a plan. This time, Triple H joined the corporate team, turning
on her.
Yep, and taking out the rest of DX at that point, or attacking Kane, kicking Kane out of the corporation, and officially ending D Generation X at that point. As terms of a moment, that's B.
Yeah, I can give you that.
In terms of how everything kind of plays out, that one's a mid B. What I want to get to is the no longer in the shadow. Owen Hart turns on his brother Brett.
Okay, talk about it.
Where it led was great storytelling. The moment, today, it's not an S. The moment, Owen turning on his brother at the Royal Rumble. That's an A. It's not an S. Some will argue it would be an S, but that's an A. Everything in terms of the physical moment, not the full story. Full story, the whole story they told. S. Yes, the leg kick. Moment is an A in terms of history. The story was better.
So I'm
going A on that one. Brent's going to probably say C, I think, here in a second. Just because he likes to just, you know, take shots.
We
have six more. Let's get to them.
Let's talk about AJ Lee and Daniel Bryan. Oh, the wedding that never happened. There it is. AJ Lee leaves Daniel Bryan at the altar. The lead up to this was great because this was the birth of crazy AJ Lee. This was what sent her on her trajectory to superstardom. More or less, Bryan is trying to marry her. He's going to have her declared insane. He's going to have her locked away to get something. I forget what, like her power or something like that. I forget what he was trying to achieve by marrying her. But AJ, wise to Bryan's wily ways, rejects him at the altar and becomes general manager. I think either directly after or
right at that moment,
Vince comes out and he's like, hey, guess what? You're general manager now. It's like still in her dress, which she looked fantastic, by the way. But yeah, this to me, the moment itself, I would say it's like a B, possibly a C.
I would say it's B or A, honestly.
I mean, I can do B. That's fine.
Yeah. I think it. The moment, because no one, because it was so, everyone didn't think the wedding would go through. The GM part,
nobody was expecting.
No one was expecting a Raw 1000. That would be the moment. So that's why it ranks higher than it should be a B or an A. So I give you B on that one.
Now, one moment that we need to talk about, staying on the McMahons and their long winding history. To me, this is an A, possibly still an S.
It's an S,
but no longer daddy's little girl. Stephanie McMahon aligns with Triple H. This is the wedding in Vegas. This is, you know, her being married to Hunter without her consent. And she comes around to Hunter's ways and she realizes she can get a hell of a lot more done with Hunter than she can with her family. And so she turns on her father and her mother and her brother. And we have the birth of the McMahon-Helmsley era.
Her turning her back on her father at Armageddon 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an S moment. Because it was the birth of the new Stephanie McMahon character, from the pure innocent Stephanie McMahon to evil Stephanie McMahon.
The iconic evil Stephanie McMahon. All right. DIY, you're on your own. Ciampa turns on Johnny.
The Fade to Black will never be the same thanks to them.
Nope. We are all scarred for life because of them. That I think that at least makes an A.
Yeah, it's an A.
Like, we don't trust it ever again after that feud.
You don't trust it anymore. The Fade to Black. Because this happened as they were rolling credits, as it was going to black, and then boom, Tommaso turned on Johnny.
We're like, that's why we all sit here now and we're like, wait for it. Wait. Okay, it's black. I think we're okay. Maybe. We don't do anything until the press conference starts.
You can't do anything.
Don't now they turn it off till then.
Now they tease you with credits. So, like executive producer, as we saw Monday. So yeah, that one goes M&A. Undisputed, the end of an era for Undisputed Era comes to an end.
I want to say this was like a B or an A, because I think it was like expected. Yeah. I think everybody saw it coming.
B.
But when Cole finally turned, it was really well executed.
Yeah, but B.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. B.
So we have an S tier we need to just throw up there.
It's still iconic 10-ish years later. The chairmatic, I like the pun.
Thank you.
Conclusion of the show. You did very well on the puns on this sheet, by the way. I was very proud of you.
Thank you. I had some fun with the puns, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah, he had a good time. The turn to end all turns. The chair shots heard round the world. That has led us where we are today. Seth Rollins betraying his brothers. And 10 years later, Seth and Roman still can't let it go. And it is playing into modern day storylines, which I absolutely freaking love. This is S tier. This was, in terms of turns, so goddamn well done. Because everybody was expecting it to be Ambrose. Everybody. The way they were telling that story, the way they were setting this up, everybody was expecting it to be Ambrose. And when Seth picked up that chair, and when Seth smacked Roman, dear God, like the entire arena the internet, everywhere was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it was so shocking. And then Seth aligns with the authority because there's always a plan B. Like, it was so good. It was so freaking good.
And now, the last one.
Just for Brent, we saved it for when you would be here. So thank you for being here today. Hypothetically, a kick split. Dakota Kai turns on Tegan Knox.
Hypothetically, it happened, right? It's all hypothetical that that moment happened.
Yeah, it's all hypothetical, right? Hypothetically, she did it.
So the kick split was the team kick and then Dakota turning. So before we give a grade, I'll let Brent grade it in chat where he thinks it should go on the list. Hypothetically.
Yeah, Brent. If you were to give it a hypothetical grade, where would it go?
Because I have a grade for it. I think Lindsay would have a grade for it. But hypothetically, Brent, where do you think it lines up? So this happened at War Games, NXT War Games. Tegan was in the cage and Dakota attacked her, taking her out of action. And Dakota Kai did her heel turn. He's going B.
I mean...
That's fair.
That's fair, yeah. I could give that a B.
That's a B. For Brent, when it happened, it's an S tier moment because hypothetically it's been a running thing, and there you go.
We've gotten so much legs out of that. It's been so great.
It's been great. But that's the tier list.
So what do you guys think? Do you think we ranked everybody fairly? Let us know on Twitter, in the comments, wherever you can. And where can they find us, Rock?
They can tweet us at Rock Radio Show. But that's the show, which means I got to plug some stuff, which means Saturday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern is another edition of CB Radio Live. We are doing... Hold 1 second. I have a whole calendar. So.
Oh god, there's hold. A calendar?
I have a calendar for the next. I have ideas for a couple till WrestleMania. This week we're doing Would You Rather. Doing a Would You Rather.
Ooh.
And staying on the Valentine's theme. A type of date you would go on. Would you rather? And they're very... They're a little bit more outlandish in nature.
I'm just saying, you could take me to Cheesecake Factory and I would be fine with that. Just expect to pay for cheesecake. That's all I'm going to say.
The Cheesecake Factory is not on the list because it's a little bit more interesting. But tune in, 11:30, CB Radio. Not AVNs. We already passed them. AVNs was 3 weeks ago, Brent?
Yeah, something. They would have been something like that, yeah.
Sunday night.
They're always during CES.
Yeah, Sunday. It's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to talk about the rise of triple threats and what they could mean for WrestleMania. And all-time favorite triple threat match. Talk about it this Sunday. 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday, it's a Raw Post Show. When Monday Night Raw ends, we're live to talk things Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. We're going to be talking NXT Vengeance Day. We're going to review it next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, search The Rack Radio Show. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and doing all the things on the social medias, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Film. It's youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. His content is amazing. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We want to wish everybody that celebrates a happy Valentine's, Galentine's, or Friday, whatever you prefer. But we hope you enjoy tomorrow. And we will see you next week. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you later. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.